The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Craig Ross joins us. I'm live here inside the web studio while Ira is inside the MDN studios. Craig, I've never told you this, but I love you, man. You know that?
I love you too, Sam.
I love me some Craig Ross, for sure. For sure, man. Basketball. Go ahead.
I just have a question for you first, because this confused me a bit. There's a lot of noise that Josh Christopher will commit to Michigan sometime this week or next week or in the near future. And yet, yesterday I saw, I think on your site, that he took USC off of his list, although no one thought he was going to USC, I don't think, and put Kentucky on it. Now, what kind of...
It was actually the other way around. It was the other way around, that he took Kentucky off and added USC.
Oh, okay. So is there...
Yeah.
What does that mean? I mean, what's the point of that if, in fact, he's supposedly ready to commit for either Arizona State or to Michigan? Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll give you my theory. I'll give you my theory, and you know, I certainly have to play some calls, and I'll be talking to more folks today. But my theory on this is, after spending some time with the kid and his dad, and talking to his dad a lot longer, he is very interested in the show, in the intrigue. He gets a real kick out of the, you know, people reacting, reacting to his every word. Absent the McDonald's All-American game and the Jordan Brand Classic, the opportunities to maybe enhance the spectacle, you got to do that in other ways. Case in point, a couple of weeks ago, he said, I think I might just make my decision this weekend. Right.
Yeah.
You know, he was just going to announce his decision that Saturday. And then, he responded to another week. I'll have something for you tomorrow. I mean, he does things like that. There was actually an exchange on Twitter where I don't know if it was one of his friends or not. They said, you just get a kick out of people, you know, getting people worked up high. And he laughed about it. He does. I remember asking him when I was out there. I said, man, you get a kick out of driving people nuts, don't you? He laughed about it. So I think that is a big part of it. Adding some interest and intrigue. I find it very hard to believe that he will make an abrupt announcement. I think he will announce his announcement date and there will be some build up to it. Because if he just does something out of the blue, he will rob himself of what he's looking for. He wants the intrigue. He wants the spectacle. He wants the notice. And while some, I know that might be a turnoff to some people, but he's a kid. You know, he's a kid and a kid in the social media age that has been getting a lot of attention, and that, yeah, you know, that has become something that he really likes. So,
LeBron comes to his games.
I don't begrudge him that at all. Right now, I don't read much into SC being added. I pause for a second because it's a local team, and so that would a local team at a time where people are taking stock of being around family, right? And so could what we're going through now globally be factoring into him wanting to stay closer to home? I could see that possibility, which is why I won't completely dismiss it as just more of the same when it comes to him looking to add interest and intrigue. But what am I inclined to believe? What do I think is more likely? I think it's more likely that it's just a throw in to jazz up the interest and intrigue here in the final moments.
Well, you know, this is my concern for Michigan basketball going forward, or a concern. I mean, you look at it, and let's say you get Josh Christopher and Isaiah Todd. I don't know. That's going to be a job for Juwan Howard to, you know, to put, I mean, it's always a job. I mean, synergy in basketball is everything, and putting kids together in a way that makes sense isn't is very difficult. And how they're going to put Josh Christopher and Isaiah Todd together, it seems, you know, I don't know. Maybe it'll work great. Certainly you'd have off-the-charts athletic ability on the court, no doubt there. But I don't know. Juwan is going to have his hands.
I look at it like this. Yeah, I think you're right. But, you know, Juwan Howard is nothing if not an excellent manager. You know, a guy who engenders, you know, trust and garners respect. And just consider his background. I mean, he played as a member of the Fab Five, and he was on a team with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James. And, you know, in both instances, they figured out a way. They figured out a way to make it work. So this would be far from his first rodeo. You know, it's one of, you know, a bigger concern. I won't even call it a concern. A bigger question for me is, you know, how do the scholarship gymnastics work out? I don't have an answer for you. So I don't know if that was going to be one of your questions. How does this all work out scholarship wise?
It sure is a question. I mean, assuming they get these guys, it's a question of how you of what your particularly this week with Nunez saying, "Yeah, I'm coming back." So you've got Nunez and Austin Davis coming back. There's a scholarship crunch. Of course, we don't know if Michigan has Josh Christopher or Isaiah Todd at all. So, I mean, those remain questions.
Right, and I think there's a good chance that what happens with those guys will kind of dictate, will kind of affect, or whether or not other scholarships come open. I could see guys. I mean, you think back to the Fab Five coming, and there was a. You know, there are guys that left town, guys like Tony Tolbert, Rich McIver. I remember being a guy.
Yeah.
Who else? Kirk Taylor. I mean, there were some guys that were around initially that the Fab Five came around. They decided to leave. And I think you could see something similar kind of take place if you wound up getting Josh Christopher and Isaiah Todd, and not just those two. I mean, Michigan just got named. I'm sure you saw this. Evan Daniels had the story
Bryce
yesterday.
Aiken.
Michigan made the Final Four for Bryce Aiken, the Harvard transfer, who would be. I mean, you talk about another outstanding addition. If you get Bryce Aiken in the mix, I think your starting point guard becomes a major question mark next year. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that it's Eli Brooks. I think that becomes a real battle. Now Eli would have the experience in the system as a as an advantage, but you know, ball handling,
is Aiken. Shooting is Aiken.
Yep. It's Aiken,
Especially from distance. I mean, Aiken can shoot it from, you know, long distances. Now I don't know how good of a half court guy or distributor he is, because you know he wouldn't be playing with the sort of quality of players here as he had at Harvard. I mean, Harvard didn't have, because I think most of his career Seth Towns was hurt.
Seth Towns.
So yeah,
the last 2 years Seth was hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and how about that? If you're Tommy Amaker, you thought you were going to have both of them. They would have been probably a tournament team this year if he had both
sure.
of those guys back at full speed.
Sure.
And then now, because of the rules in the Ivy League, both of those guys have to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sort of surprised by Aiken not continuing to have MSU on his list. I mean, he stayed on with Iowa State because probably with Halliburton, is that his name, leaving, and then the guy leaving at Seton Hall, and then you got Cowan leaving at Maryland. So he seemed to be choosing places, and X leaving here where the prime mover in the backcourt was leaving. And with Winston leaving at Michigan State, I was sort of surprised. And since they don't really have a obvious point guard fit, I mean, you've got Lawyer, who I don't think is probably ever going to be strong enough to play in the Big Ten. And you've got the kid, Watts, who I don't think is really a point guard. And then you've got Hoggard, who's a freshman coming in. And I don't, you know, it seems like that would be a good place for him basketball-wise.
Yeah, I think you hit on a question that a lot of people have. Cassius Winston leaving, they have some talent coming back, maybe even Xavier Tillman coming back. But I looked at it this way: this is a guy that's been coached by Tommy Amaker.
Yeah,
you've been coached by Tommy Amaker for 4 years, and you're gonna go get coached by Tom Izzo. Are you kidding me? Is this something you really want to do? Like when you sit and you think about it, you go from TA. You know, laid back, we'll get on you, we'll get into you at times, to a guy that is going to be in your grill, in your face, you know, yelling so much that the spit is flying out. You're going to be around that guy suddenly?
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that that's not appealing to some and works for some, but after you've been coached by Tommy Amaker for 4 years, I could see how you might have your reservations when it comes to being coached by Tom Izzo.
Yeah, I mean, that's a point. You're going from an extremely urbane guy to Yosemite Sam, you know, and I don't think that one is probably maybe working for him all that well. So, yeah, in any event, yeah, you got Aiken out there.
That's me speculating.
Yeah, no, it's a reasonable speculation, though, for sure. As long as we're on this before, I mean, I saw this yesterday, and this completely flummoxed me, and maybe it shouldn't have. I see Travion, Travion Henderson, who is a top running back prospect out of high school. Yeah, who committed to Ohio State this week. Is that right? And he never visited Ohio State. And so how, you know, at first I thought, how in the world can a kid commit to a school without ever showing foot on campus? Which is what's happened on Henderson. And then I thought, oh, Justin Fields. He's never seen the campus either, and he's been there for a year. So this may become the sort of new normal, the new normal at Ohio State. Kids say, I don't know, I ain't going there. I'm just going to go live in an apartment and go over to the football building and show up on Saturday for games. I mean, I don't, you know,
yeah.
Campus. You know, I don't have anything to do with that. You know,
right.
So.
It's a good point, and you know, it has a lot of us scratching our heads a little bit about how that happens. But if you're Travion Henderson, think about it. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Now, I mean, you can do something different if you so choose. And the word out there is that Clemson is not going to let this go, that Clemson is going to maintain its pursuit. It will look to get him on campus. And, you know, some of the Clemson folks, at least some of the Clemson followers, believe they have a good chance of flipping him. I don't know how true that is. But, you know, Ohio State's going to have to guard their yard there. And it's one of the reasons why I don't think they'll completely, cut off communication with other running back targets, including Donovan Edwards. Not that I think it'll matter much, but I think they'll at least attempt to keep lines of communication open with other guys, because you just got a commitment from a guy odds of him sticking are greater than the odds of him not sticking. But, you know, when you get a commitment from a guy who's never visited before, the odds of him coming loose, I think, are much greater than they would be had he committed after a visit. So time will tell. We'll see how it goes. And as far as I'm concerned, That is a recruitment that is still a little, at least, to be determined. We'll see. But we need to get to a break.
Okay.
We'll come back on the other side. Let's talk 1050 WTK, the ticket.